Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Snap. The kick. It's been blocked again. Oh, my. It's been blocked again. He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be caught. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. Tyree Cleveland. Oh, my. I can't believe what I just saw.
Dropping back the throw. Pops and fires the ball. Over the middle.
Harmon, he comes back. Say goodbye.
Ahmad Black in his final game as a Gator takes it all the way home and sends Urban out the winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's Dan.
Delatory.
And Jay Scarlett, baby. What it do?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir.
Jordan, Nick, what is going on? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you guys. If you guys are waiting for that booming baritone of Corey, he's not going to be able to make it today. So we're just going to run with the three amigos here. So appreciate everybody for watching and listening. Let's get into Nick, your weekend. I know you spent Friday down in Tampa, but how was your weekend, my friend?
Yeah, that was pretty much the weekend. It was last football game, headed down to Tampa, just made it a day trip. Mm-hmm. Down Friday, back up Friday. We'll get more into the game, but got put to sleep a little bit in the first half.
Yep.
Before waking up in the second half. And then mom and dad, or mom's up here, but dad came up, sister's up. We've got the full family here. Like I said, if you don't want to leave to go somewhere for Christmas, have a child. Everyone will just come to you.
Absolutely.
100%.
Is this your first time hosting Christmas, Nick?
Well, we're not even hosting, which is a beautiful part.
Oh, that's nice.
My parents bought a house up here. So we're just bringing the baby to the other house. So, like, Christmas presents, wrapping, cooking, all that cleaning.
You're just going to go and leave a mess and then be like, yeah. See you later. The baby's got to go to bed. I get it.
Baby's got to go to bed.
I mean, I don't get it. But that's what I would say.
No kidding.
Big responsibility with the baby. So, you know, that's pots and pans. Got to do a diaper. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. It's not what I want to do. It's what I have to do.
It's my calling. My calling was to be a father, and I've got to go. Got to go dad it up.
Somebody's got to do it, right? It's your cross to bear.
You know, it's. I gladly carry that cross, but it is my cross to bear, Dan. Yeah.
Shout out to Nick. Congratulations. First baby Christmas for you. So I'm super pumped for you, buddy. Jordan, how's your weekend, my friend?
Pretty good, man. Had the family in. My dad came down from Canada, and my brothers came from Tampa with his daughter. We got to all hang out with my mom. It was all chilling at my house. Like Nick said, once you have all the babies, you're really not obligated to do much traveling anymore. Everybody kind of just comes to you. So everybody was hanging out at my house. It's a pretty eventful weekend, I would say. We decided to grant my mom for family pictures for Christmas because it's been a while since we like did some pictures. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, that's always fun, if you want to say. Trying to get babies to look and people to actually do the right thing. But it turned out good. She was happy that we all took some pictures, man.
So that's awesome, good. Man. I didn't know your dad lived in Canada. Was he like Toronto or?
Yeah, Toronto.
Running around with Drake?
Yeah, right. He magically found him a lady up there, man. I don't know how he found a lady from Canada, but he married her. Loves it up there.
He hasn't tried to bring her back down?
Nah, they're nice up there. They're living good up there. He ain't coming back.
Yeah, yeah. Toronto's not a bad place. I guess I got to call it the right name. It's Toronto. It's not Toronto. Yeah, Toronto. Toronto's a cool town, man. Other than the cold weather and, you know, probably not seeing the sun for the better part of 3 or 4 months with either it being overcast or gloomy. It's a cool little downtown area. It's a cool city. A lot to do nearby, near the water, all that. And you're not too far from America if you you know, want to taste some freedom on the weekend. You know what I mean?
Right, for sure.
What's what's the Canadian to American? Isn't their money just like fake?
The exchange rate. Our money is worth more.
Way more.
Yeah, it's worth about 35% more. Yeah. So prices are similar. But if you are using American dollars, like think of everything as like a 30% discount.
Right. Yeah, I was watching something and they were talking in Canadian CAD, and I went to go do the exchange and I was like, whoa! I thought this company was way more successful.
Yeah,
I'm doing the conversion.
You're living large up there, Nick.
I'm like, they're 35%. They're 35% worse off than I thought they were.
Yeah. No, but Toronto's cool. Montreal is awesome. Canada's a cool spot. So. Shout out to you, Jordan. That's awesome. And glad that you got the family together for the holidays. The reason for the season, I mean, I guess you could say Jesus too, but you know what I mean? Just trying to show a little more secular today. Was able to, so I'm down in South Florida now for a couple days with the family. I have two young nephews, so want to be near them during Christmas time. But went to the Gasparilla Bowl on Friday. Perfect weather. So I had myself a day on Friday. Actually, I had myself a night on Thursday that turned into a day. So want to give a shout out to the UF Alumni Association. They put on an event at Armature Works, which was really cool. And then I was able to get into the VIP section, not a big deal. And so I was able to do that, got to hang out. I met a listener, James Gadsby. So thank you for your hard work, former president.
Shout out to James.
Yep, of the Alumni Association. So got to chat with him for a while. Ran into my buddy, Jess Johnson, who is the new UF alumni president. I'm not trying to like brag here. These are just people that I like met in college or, you know, post-college life that have done awesome things for themselves. My buddy Derek
never
was there.
Never one to brag.
Say what?
Never one to brag.
Never. Not today. Today.
This is just reading of the minutes. Recounting the meeting.
That's right. And then Will Norris, you've probably seen him. He's a very online guy. He's an attorney in Tampa, so got the chance to meet him. Then he invited me and some of the friends I went to the game with on Friday over to his tailgate. So thank you for that and the free drinks there. Went out on the boat Friday morning, which is great. Saw Billy Napier walking in a suit at about 9:30 by himself. I'm like, man, that seems a little early to throw the old suit on and walk by yourself. But probably going to clear the air, clear his head a little bit before the game, and then got to go over to the game and sat right behind two other listeners. So I told him I'd give him a shout out. Part of the reason I told him I'd give him a shout out, their names are Jack and John, is it got cold at the game, right? Like it was a beautiful day when the sun was up. When the sun went down, though, it got like very cold. There was like a little bit of a wind, and I'm wearing like a short sleeve shirt and jeans, thought that would be enough. It wasn't. So I'm asking people around if I can borrow their sweater. Just kind of being an idiot, right? And my boy Jack, I believe it was Jack, took his sweater off and gave it to him. I'm like, no, dude, I wasn't like really being serious. shout out to Jack for
Jack's
that.
Man. Jack, the kind of guy that would give you the shirt off his back.
I tell you what, man, I hope I'm not getting them confused because that would sure make me Jack's look like an idiot.
I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah. But you know, those guys were awesome. Great, great time at the Gasparilla Bowl. Somebody shouted me out. You know, remember I told you a couple, you know, weeks ago, somebody walked up to me at the urinal and said they listened to the pod. I had another weird encounter with somebody, and if he listens, like, I just want to say, awesome to meet you. Wish I would have got your name, but let's not do that again. At the urinal at halftime, peeing actively. And I hear my name. They're like, hey, Dan.
Steady flow.
I don't think they're talking to me because I'm not expecting anybody to say my name whilst going number one. I hear it again. I look around. There's a guy, probably 6'2", 6'3", standing over. He's in a stall, standing over, puts his hand in the air and just waves. He's like, nice to meet you. Man, very awkward, because then everybody's like, who is this guy? Why are people shouting him out? And I'm still trying to go number one. You know what I mean? Right. So whatever your name is, I appreciate it. But next time, let's just wait maybe till the sink time. You know, maybe he's not a hand washer. You know, who knows?
Yeah, right. Something just dip and go.
That I like this, because the more we bring it up, I feel like the more people will go out of their way to specifically wait. Like, they could see you in the stadium and then like do a little Dexter stalking of you.
I don't want that. You're in the bathroom. That's even worse.
I feel like as we continue talking about this and making a big deal of it, people are going to seek out interactions with you in the bathroom.
Same urinal, same time. Not the Spence. Let's write that down for a title.
That's Dan's meet and greet.
It was awesome to be there. Jordan, I want to ask you, man, because you're famous, right? And you were especially famous at UF and then being a professional football player. You know, I'm a D-minus list celebrity amongst Florida Gator fans, so just barely above the casual fan. I just happened to put my giant forehead and receding hairline on the internet for people to see. Did a lot of people approach you? Did a lot of people just like point at you? Because I realized how many people would point and like whisper over to somebody, like, oh man, that guy's really ugly in real life. I'm not sure, but or like that's Dan, right? But did that happen?
Yeah, man, it happened often, and like definitely like going to a very like prestigious high school like St. Thomas, like it was happening early. I'm being honest, like honestly, like they're on you, like especially around the city and Fort Lauderdale and stuff. Football is real popular, so it was always either people giving you the stare contest for forever, like are you gonna say something or just keep staring? Some people flip out a picture, like acting like they're not trying to take a picture. Like I've seen it all, but just gotta learn to just soak it in and kind of move on with it. I don't miss it though, to be honest. I'm kind of glad it's dying down. I like to lay low key.
That's how I cut the dreads off, you know what I mean?
Right? Yeah, you gotta really know me to know who I am.
What was it like, let's say, like after your sophomore year, your junior year around town in Gainesville?
Definitely different, man. Definitely different. But as far as like restaurants go, every time I go some places, like literally would have to deny not taking free food and stuff like that because they offer free food because they want me to keep coming back.
Hey, come back. It's on the house, man. It's on the house. It's on us. So
look at Jordan. Jordan's like, excuse me, sir, my NCAA eligibility. I appreciate you.
Right.
I didn't go to Lakeland. We don't take free things.
Yeah, it was pretty good when I went around campus, man. It definitely saved you. I even gotten pulled over a few times, and that works to your favor too sometimes if they like you. So it has its perks. But sometimes it gets annoying.
And people shouting your name at the urinal. You know what I mean?
Were these guys before your time? I just ran into Matt Jones, Hunter Joyer. You would have loved Hunter Joyer. You would have loved Hunter Joyer. Hunter Joyer was the last great fullback. Just leading the way. Back when Will Muschamp was playing with 7 offensive linemen, a quarterback, a fullback, and a 2-back set.
Jeez. Yeah, but I know Matt Jones, though. Interesting enough, Matt Jones was he took me to Miami the first time to the club.
Ooh.
Yep.
Matt Jones from Tampa.
Right.
It's Jordan Scarlett from Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale guy down to South Beach. It was all obviously straight Gators. We were so deep. That night was a crazy night. We could talk about that one another time. I know this is a kid's show. But I had a very good night with the boys, man. It was me, Brian Poole, Brian Cox, Dante Fowler, Kelvin Taylor.
Oh, jeez.
Come on. You're imagining right? Yeah, Matt Jones.
You guys made it out alive, you know what I mean?
Right. We made it home safely, surprisingly. It got wicked. But, yeah, man, them boys showed me an awesome time my first night in Miami. I love the boys for that for forever.
We might have to fire up the Patreon for Jordan's South Beach stories.
Right? South Beach Scarlet.
Give you guys a reason to join our membership channel over on Patreon. Well, let's get in to the show. Always great chopping it up with you guys. And again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to the both of you and your families. Let's pour one out for our friend Greg Brunt Insurance from Financial Services. If you are looking for anything when it comes to insurance in the southeastern part of the United States, give Greg a call. His number is 954-589-2204 or bruntinsurance.com. Renter's insurance, homeowner's insurance, car insurance, boat insurance, RV insurance, whatever it might be, he's your guy to go. A call is completely free. A quote is completely free. Just check it out. Give yourself a good New Year's reminder to say, hey, I'm going to check to see what I'm paying on insurance and see if you can save yourself some money. Greg has saved me a lot of money. I think he saved you some money, Nick. He's definitely saved Corey a bunch of money and a bunch of the listeners here. So again, go visit bruntinsurance.com or give him a call at 954-589-2204. Greg Brunt with Brunt Insurance.
Greg, what it do, baby?
There it is. All right, guys. So the Gators do win the Gasparilla Bowl, move to 8-5 on the season, which I think was probably a stretch goal of any very optimistic Gator entering the season. So win that game 33-8. They scored in garbage time with really no time left in the game. But the Gators do win 33-8, a bit of an odd game in terms of just points. Gators struggled to find the end zone early on, leading 6-0 at halftime to kick another field goal to go up 9-0 in the third. And then they really poured on, including a touchdown by Anthony Rubio, including a fumble Ruski type, not a called fumble Ruski, just a fumbled snap that Kanan Daniels went beast mode on that run. You saw Des Watson run the ball. You saw Des Watson almost suplex somebody. You saw them, saw Tulane try to start the game with a flea flicker that was underthrown by about 20 yards and get intercepted. You saw Alfonso Allen with an interception in this game. So not a game that you could ever probably attribute any of those things actually to before the game, but Gators do win that game in a what looked to be sold out for the tickets that were available game in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium. Nick, press box view, what were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it was the first half tough to stay awake, was utilizing the coffee that they provided in the press box. It's a weird press box because it's closed.
Yeah.
But it's nice. Brought cookies out and brownies at halftime. People were enjoying. Some of the worst pizza I've ever seen, though. I think
Dave was it Little Caesars?
Yeah, it wouldn't have been an upgrade if it was Little Caesars.
Okay. Little Caesars, they have the audacity. I believe they're charging about $20 for a pizza there.
It's not that.
I didn't get it, but I saw it.
It can't be. Yeah. At the stadium.
Yeah, beer is $18.50.
Oh,
it's a double beer, right? I think a premium drink was $17.50, and then they had
super that double
premium drinks. They started $18.50. No, Nick, those are just singles.
That's an $18 single drink.
Correct.
So an ounce and a half of Grey Goose.
Correct. Yeah, with they pour it in a shooter too, and then pour it in to make sure they're not overpouring because I'm sure margins are slim. Yeah. So anyway, sorry. Go back to the game there.
Yeah, small margins for sure. It's the first half, you know, DJ was a little off. You start to think like, okay, this is Florida's getting not having any problem moving the ball. The game doesn't feel like it's in jeopardy at all, but my goodness, score, do something. So you know, and I was worried. Somebody was talking to me before the game, and they're like, man, if they lose this game to Tulane, I'm like, you would completely blow all of the good will and good grace that you had, that you've gotten by losing to the second string quarterback who's in the portal and only using this game as like film to go to his next place. And then in the second half, I think the defense, whatever, again, I say it all the time, whatever they did in the first bye week, bottle it, sell it. You can sell it for more than you can sell, you know, a Grey Goose shooter at Raymond James Stadium.
They even have
but the defense played fantastic the whole game.
Yeah.
You start to connect on some passes, connect on some runs, and then you get to have a little fun at the end of the game. You get Big Dez a carry. I was on the field and I said, listen, if we were going to go four straight years without getting Desmond Watson a carry, then what are we even playing football for? I talked to him after the game. I talked to him after the game. I was like, tell me what you were thinking. I was like, it had to be like, don't put this rock on the ground. He goes, I was just thinking fall forward. I'm like, yeah, that works.
That girl.
You get Anthony Rubio gets six carries. They're really trying to get him into the end zone. Marco, we are doing a $1 million match. If you are feeling happy and excited about your son's first collegiate touchdown, go over to Fort Victorious and pop a donation there in celebration of your son's first career touchdown as a Gator. But exciting to see some of those guys getting in and the team just having fun towards the end of the game. Jordan's been to them. Bowl games are, especially since the playoff has started, bowl games are kind of losing their luster. But for the team, yeah, you get to go and hang out, and you got some events, you get some swag, you go to parties, you get to go out, and you get to play one more game as a team. Because even if, you know, let's say you're only going to lose 10 guys, you're going to have guys in the transfer portal, you're going to have – it's not going to be the same team that you had. So – for me, it was cool to see the guys get a win, emphatic win, and almost a shutout. I don't think Florida's had a shutout since 2021 against Vanderbilt.
Interesting. Okay. I was wondering, and then you certainly don't see them in bowl games very often. We'll break down kind of the game itself. Jordan, what were your thoughts watching the game?
Just to piggyback on what y'all said, man, like, I felt like we definitely started slow. Me personally, just like kind of analyzing the game from my perspective, I felt like we didn't have like great play calling coming out in the first half. Not even first half, first drive. Like, I always get excited to watch first drives because I want to see what y'all been working on all week. Like, usually teams have like maybe 7 to 10 plays scripted for the first drive, maybe 5 if you want to keep it real vanilla. But you have certain plays scripted for the first drive. Like, I just felt like, just watching it, we kind of abandoned what we usually do. Like, I think we went 2 runs on the first 2 plays. We got positive yardage, 5+ maybe. And then the next, after we got the first down, we threw the ball 3 times with DJ Lagway.
Yeah,
I love DJ Lagway. I'm a huge DJ Lagway fan, but I know he's good. Let's not pour it all on him. Let's keep the run game going and let him do what he does best. Play action, deep shot. Just find a way to make it easier for him. Let's not kind of pour it on his shoulder. So that's what I kind of took from the first half. Like, I feel like we could have had some better play calling. I believe the second drive we came out and that's when we got our field goal for the half. So that was a little bit of a better drive. I think he ended up completing like a little nice pass to kind of get us in field goal range. But overall, I just want to see us have some better play calling and kind of stick to the run game and trust it and more lean on that more than DJ kind of deal. Cause just let him do what he does once the running backs kind of free it up for him. Let's just play some complimentary football. But overall, yeah, I was impressed. The guys got to have some fun, man. Like you said, everybody, it's all about fun in the bowl game, especially when you're winning. Definitely feels a lot better. So I'm proud of the guys overall.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The team definitely looked like they were having fun. It, you know, frustrating, right? Especially when you get the ball back on an interception on your first drive, right? And then just kind of stall out there is, you know, a little disappointing. You know, the Gators were missing. We didn't mention this. They were missing Cam Jackson, Caleb Banks, Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon, Jameer Grimsley, and I think Montrell Johnson. I don't even know if he played. I think maybe special teams.
Played a little bit on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, not much. So certainly missing a couple of caliber starters there. Certainly the defense played outstanding, and I think that they deserve their flowers for what they did and how they improved this season. And, you know, I think that there's going to be a huge opportunity for growth going into next year for them. You have a lot of young guys that participated, and you're going to have that opportunity to hopefully make that sophomore jump or that junior jump for a lot of these guys. But, yeah, I mean, I think DJ tried to play a little hero ball at times. I think the interception that he had in the end zone was just a bad decision. There was no window open at all.
Right.
I think he had a QB spy on him the whole game. They were covering their gaps, right? So the Gators moved the ball pretty well, but they were also kind of getting stuffed near the line as well on offense, right? So not the prettiest game, but certainly if you score 33 points in a game, you know, it is what it is, right? I mean, it's hard probably to be a bowl game to get up and get excited about, but the team looked energized, ready to go. So, you know, I think that says a lot to the coaching staff, to the culture that they've built, and to the guys that want to go out and win, right? It's the Gasparilla Bowl, right? I mean, I know that they didn't play in a bowl game last year and they lost the Las Vegas Bowl if you were on the team then. But, you know, I want to give them, you know, their credit and their flowers, a team that had a 4.5 win over under in Vegas, nearly doubled that, right? So if anything, you know, we're not going to take a lot away from this bowl game. We're going to go over it a little bit more in depth here in a second, but, you know, take it with an 8-5 season. You improve. Billy Napier is now officially 500 as a coach at UF, and you try to carry this momentum into 2025. And obviously it showed a little bit in the transfer portal and recruiting this weekend as well. Dallas Wilson, pardon me, was there. I don't know why I said DJ Dallas. Jeez. Dallas Wilson was there. And, you know, I think you got to see what some of the future looks like with some of these young guys, and saw Teddy Foster out there a bit as well. And then certainly the Kanan Daniels run, I think, gives you reason to be excited about him and wondering who's going to get the ball at running back next year. So, all right, guys, let's get into the offensive side of the ball. DJ Lagway goes 22 of 35 for 305 yards. Probably not the sexiest 305 yards that you'll see in a game. Did get one touchdown and two interceptions. His overall rating was just a 48.2, according to Pro Football Focus. And obviously still dealing with the hamstring injury, right? It's only been 4 weeks since the hamstring got injured, or 5 weeks. So can't expect him to be fully back. He's going to have a lot of opportunity to rehab that. But what do you guys think about DJ Lagway in his final performance? Ends the season as a starter where he started and ended the game without getting injured, 6-0.
Yeah, just trying to do too much. Both of the interceptions, you're just trying to turn nothing into something. I think that comes with maturity, comes with more game experience to know, like Billy Napier used to say about Graham Mertz a lot, like, hey, he understands when throwing a ball away and punting, or throwing a ball away to stay in field goal range and get 3 points is better than trying to, you know, be a magician. Yeah. I pulled up, you know, the quarterback progression chart, and DJ started, I think, 7 of his first 9. But like a lot of those were to, you know, like outlet passes, but dump offs, really not pushing the ball. And then I think interception was on his 11th pass and his 19th. But first time he's thrown 30 passes in a game. I think initially, you know, he gets a lot of the credit and a lot of the, I don't know how he was the MVP. I think Trey Smack was the MVP. I had a fire tweet. At one point, Trey Smack was 3-for-3 with 9 RBIs in the bottom of the 6th in a 9-0 game. But, yeah, I think DJ is going to continue to learn and continue to grow, and we'll get into it later. But they are putting people around him. And I'm sure, you know, the fact that he is him helps them put people around him. But it'll be exciting next year. But, yeah, it's just – to me, it was trying to do too much for those two interceptions. After doing a lot of taking what the defense was giving you, and probably some of that compounds. I mean, like, hey, I'm tired of throwing the ball sideways. Let's see if I can figure something out here down the red area.
Yeah, for sure, man. I kind of agree with you on that, man. I feel like I mentioned earlier, they kind of was trying to put a lot on his plate, and not to say he was panicking, but he was kind of just like, okay, y'all going to let me spin it. I'm going to spin it, Dan. So kind of started forcing some passes that he really didn't have to force. Like, the check down will always be your best friend. I always say it all the time. Best quarterback in the NFL literally lived by check downs. Tom Brady, like, made a killing with it. Like, somebody please take the recipe and be successful. So that's how I felt about it overall. And about the receiver thing, Brandon, I do agree with you. I do see a lot of receivers coming in motion, and we never really, like, give them the ball. I think it's obviously eye candy. Defensive guys are stupid. When you see dudes running in motion, some of them act stupid and do something odd because they think it's another play or something. So they kind of just keep the motion there. But I believe that we should definitely hand it off every now and then just to keep them honest. Like, it's just another little quick run play, a little quick 2-3 yards. Even on a short yardage situation, you know, everybody wants to, like, pinch in and kind of scrum down. That'd be a nice one. So
definitely. Motion two, you're also trying to see if the defense will show their hand. Like, hey, are they in zone or are they in man?
All indicated for sure.
But yeah, but my God, some of these guys are running ultra marathons. Yeah. And not getting
great condition.
Some of these guys are running 30 miles in pre-snap motion for nothing.
Literally.
Yeah, no, I know that that's the kind of the offense, right? That Billy Napier is kind of sort of running. Mike McDaniel with the Dolphins runs something similar, throwing a lot of those guys in motion to see. But I think that there is an opportunity to give that handoff or make a quick play there for sure. So
I need to call something out real quick, Dan.
Yeah.
It makes sense that a running back is calling for more checkdowns. I'm just not sure how unbiased that take is.
I'm just saying the GOAT lives by it, man. James White, him and James White made a killing. I watched with my own eyes.
James White. James White was a very good baseball player in high school.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
I'm gonna give a quick nod here to the Gator Nation Football Podcast. Good guys over there. That interception that you're talking about, Nick, where the Gators were on their side of the field, and I think they got an interception somewhere around the 30, 35. They did a dissection and encourage you guys to go listen to them. They're a great podcast that does film review. That happened on where they dropped 8 players into coverage. DJ Lagway this season is 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 51% completion rating, and a 37 QBR when teams are dropping 8. So definitely an area of an opportunity for him to work on. He is still a freshman. We're not going to, you know, take anything away from that. But, you know, again, something to work on this offseason. Not a stellar day for him throwing the ball deep. He did have one pass that was caught for 31 yards. But other than that, it just goes 1 for 6 beyond 20 yards. And that's something that you're used to seeing a little bit more. I do think that there was a missed pass interference call on a right-hand side deep throw, if I remember that correctly. But other than that, not a great day passing. Still 305 yards. So, I mean, what do you say to that? But yeah, so that's where they ended there. Running backs, Jaden Ball was your leading ball carrier with 70 yards on 14 attempts. Anthony Rubio, 6 attempts for 32 yards. Kanan Daniels, 5 attempts for – 5 rushes, pardon me, for 30 yards, including the nice fumble Ruski touchdown there. And Jacoby Jackson with 57 yards. And then Marcus Burke, who – did put his name in the transfer portal today. I had 1 carry for 5 yards. And of course, can't forget Des Watson, 1 carry for 1 yard in that game. So
move the chains, move.
Yeah.
The
I mean,
that's a big 1 yard right there.
the defense or the running back room is absolutely set for next season. Right. You saw these are guys that are all coming back. I don't think any of them are going to necessarily leave. Would it surprise me if somebody did? No, just because there's a lot of people there, right? And then you add Waltez Clark, you add the guy that they flipped for
Byron Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis Byron, and then Byron Lewis, pardon me. And then you get Treyon Webb back, right? So there's a lot of people in that room that are going to want the ball. But that room looks about as deep as any room in college football.
I won't be surprised if one gets out of there. Honestly.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, brother.
Yeah. I don't prognosticate on people transferring, but, hopefully you can keep as many of those guys as you can. Receiver group, Tony Livingston, 4 catches, 58 yards. Aiden Mizell, 4 catches for 50 yards. TJ Abrams, 1 catch, 31 yards. Shim DK, his final game, 96 yards on 6 catches. Jacoby Jackson, 29 yards on 2 catches. Hayden Hansen, 18 yards on 2 catches. And then Elijah Badger, 2 catches for 17 yards. So, obviously, of that group, you're going to lose Shim DK and Elijah Badger. But, again, most of that room is coming back, and then you've added some pieces as well. Any additional thoughts on the skill positions before we touch on offensive line?
Yeah, I don't know what package it was, but some people had, like, tickets where they were just like fans, just like down the field after the game.
Sick.
And guy goes up to Jim, signs like a jersey for his kid. And he's like, "Hey man, don't leave us in the portal." And Jim looks at him and goes, "I'm not going in the portal, man. I don't have any eligibility left. I'm out of here though."
Yeah.
So he and I were laughing about that. I mean, Badger, not a huge game, but had a huge impact this season. Chim DK, big game, also had a big impact this season. We started to see more of Tony Livingston. I think it was probably after Arliss Boardingham's decision was made to, hey, like, I'm going to enter the portal. I need to get out of here, get into an offense where I'm going to catch the ball more. I think that's when we started seeing Tony Livingston more. And he's been productive. There was that one pass, really nice throw from DJ. Good route down on the far sideline, on Florida's sideline, that he caught. I like him. Former Terry basketball player.
Put his hands
player.
Up pretty high in the air. I know he had one catch where he you know, was pretty athletic move.
I think so. But you're going to get a lot of guys back. Marcus Burke left. This is a guy – Marcus Burke was almost kicked off the team Billy's first year. I think it was Anthony Richardson, Gervon Dexter, and a couple guys went to Billy and was given another chance. It's never been about on-the-field ability. It's been about him learning to grow up. And so when his tweet came out today, was not surprised at all. Wish him luck, but he's got a lot of stuff working on himself that he needs to do. Himself, not the football player, but himself. But the ability's there, and best of luck to him. But Florida's receiver room is going to be fine with J. Michael Sturdivant. He's a player. I don't know that UCLA used him right. If you go back to his freshman year at Cal, a beast. And he's like 6'4", 195, big dude. You add Dallas Wilson. You're probably looking to add one more, whether it's Jonte Cook or somebody who's not in the portal yet, but may get in the portal. Time is ticking there. The receiver room is going to be fine.
Yeah, they're going to be just fine. Kind of assume that, you know, you got a high caliber quarterback like this, you're definitely going to land some guys that want to come along for the ride. So I'm not surprised at that at all. Overall, I think the receivers had a pretty good day. It was definitely slow for everyone at first. And then once everything started clicking as far as the run game, everything kind of just fell in the right places. So I'm proud of the guys, man. They put on a good show, man. So hopefully let's see what these young guys can come in here and do, make a difference on this receiver room. We're losing some guys. And literally, U.S. receiver room has been trending for the past 3-4 days. So I'm like excited about that to see what the future holds for us for real.
A lot of reason to be excited, Jordan. I echo your guys' thoughts. Thanks, Wally, for the haircut shout out. And DK, you guys get win Stadium and Gale listener of the show today. It's a new thing that I just started. I never got complimented on my hair before. So I'm a little giddy and excited here. Let's get into the blocking here. So pass blocking still an area of opportunity, as we say in the business world, to get better. an area of opportunity. Jake Slaughter, who's coming back, played center, had a pretty good game. Rod Kearney was over at right guard. Him and Cam Waite split during the game there. Bryce Lovett was over at the right tackle position. Fletcher Westfall came in, I think, for the first time this season. Had a pretty good showing in the end of the game there at left tackle. And then Austin Barber and Najee Harris obviously played quite a bit in this game as well. So not going to dive too much into it. I don't hate to put a player down. I think, Cam Waite's recorded the best pass blocking game on the team. Don't know what his future looks like for UF when it comes to what the offensive line position looks like. But, with losing Brandon Crenshaw Dixon to the NFL draft, you return four guys. I think Bryce Lovett is probably going to be your right tackle unless you go and get somebody in the transfer portal. But I think we're seeing some more out of some of these younger guys in the game. But, Nick, not sure if you have any thoughts on on that. But they did allow just two hurries. Well, it says four. Who else allowed hurries? Bryce Lovett allowed one.
I've noticed that a little bit.
Left one, and then Najee Harris allowed two. But
yeah, I think the offensive line was okay, not great in pass blocking. I am encouraged looking towards the future, getting Jake Slaughter back. Which, you know, when I talked to him and he did the story, he was kind of like, ho-hum, didn't think people would care that I was coming back. And I'm like, literally a first-team All-American. You're literally going to have a brick with your
brick,
name.
Yeah,
sort of a big deal. get Austin Barber back. You get Najee Harris back. You get Rod Kearney back. You're getting most likely Damian George back.
And what do you mean most likely? What do you mean?
I mean, he could decide to go to the NFL.
Which NFL? The one Jordan played in, or
yes,
is that one? He had a hell of a year. I'm just kidding.
Could capitalize on having your best year. Most but you're going to get player. Four out of five guys back. The continuity, talk about it all the time. The offensive line, and I like kind of railed on them earlier in the year when they were playing 8, 9, 10 guys. I'm like, hey, find five. Stop playing 12 guys in a game on the offensive line. You need continuity and chemistry. You need to be able to know without saying something like, hey, that's a stunt. Mm-hmm. I know who's next to me. He's got his guy. I passed him off. And you're going to have that from day one because you're getting – four guys who started. Now they're going to have to, you know, sure, earn those starting jobs back in the spring and in the fall, or spring, summer, fall. But you've got a lot of talent coming back. So I'm encouraged by what you have coming back in terms of next year. Much better second half for the group than first half. But, yeah, it was, like you said, not a great day, allowing some hurries. I think – DJ was having to move around a little more than I would have liked, specifically in that first half.
Jordan, before you chime in, the dichotomy of the Gator fan base right now, we have Gators here that says Sale is cooking on the lowest of keys. Literally the very next comment is from Rob S saying, man, Rob Sale is stealing money. The dichotomy of the Gator fan base.
We have four straight wins. It's lying season. If Corey were here, the lies would be heavy.
He would let you know that this is a parody show and that nothing should be taken for real and that the lies are cooking and he is going to be a menace on Twitter. So I know we have some Miami and FSU fans listening to the show. So just know that he's going to be a menace to you this off season. So, Jordan, any thoughts on the offensive line? Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did a pretty good job of protecting DJ all day, as well as the run game was kind of effective. Like, obviously, first half, we all know, was slow. I just feel like that was more due to play calling, less than our players' performance on the field, to be honest. But overall, man, I think the big guys held up well, man. And it's kind of like we mentioned earlier, it's really tough to be playing for nothing in a sense, like especially with how college football is now with the playoff bracket. It's more teams now. I'm sure a lot of dudes in the locker room want to be playing in the playoffs. So I'm glad that they went out there and fought with all the effort that they could, man, and took the game seriously. Like, this is your last ride with all these brothers. This is the last time you'll actually have this exact team. You'll never have this team again. So I like that the guys actually went out there and fought, man, because a lot of people go out there and lay down. I've seen it happen time and time after again in bowl games. You got some dudes opt out of the bowl game. Some dudes feeling like, I don't even want to play, but I got to play to get film. Like, I'm not good enough to not play. And I don't know. And, like, you're just not in it. So I was really impressed with the way everybody was bought in from top to bottom. So just a big shout-out to the O-line for, you know, holding the guys down and protecting our future for real.
Yeah, no, and I think the Gators might go in the offensive – in the transfer portal for an offensive lineman. But I think you can look into next season for maybe Florida having 8, 9 guys that are capable of playing. And there's years that Florida didn't have 3 or 4 guys. So we can be disappointed in some of the recruiting efforts. We could be disappointed in some of the development efforts. But also you have to look on the opposite side and say, Florida's had two offensive linemen All-Americans in the last three seasons, and those are the only positions that they've been. And now you finally have a stable at the offensive line position with some young guys who we've not seen much of, right? Fletcher Westfall, Caden Jones, some of these other young guys that have an opportunity to play. And maybe you don't have to throw them in as sophomores. You can put them in at as redshirt sophomores or as juniors to give them the opportunity. So let's get into a quick ad read. Our friends over at Home Field Apparel, go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. A few of you asked, and including Tyler for Game Time Sidekicks, when are those jersey pullovers for baseball coming back? And they are in March. They will be back in March on the website. Use the promo code. But go check them out for the University of Florida, about 100 other schools as well. Homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. A couple of things that I want to note about the game itself. Really good game atmosphere. I forgot to mention these earlier. Somebody mentioned in the chat here, Desmond Watson's name was chanted throughout the stadium, and that was really cool. I'm sure to him that was an awesome experience. He even got to hit the Heisman pose and went viral on online. So congratulations to him. And then another thing, there was a fight in the section next to mine. Stop fighting at football games. This was two Gators that got into a fight. Got a
mom Gator on Gator crime?
Gator on Gator crime. Just stop fighting. It's not worth it. We had somebody get arrested, you know, from the crowd in front of his wife and two kids. Kids are crying. A guy got knocked out. Let's just not fight at the Gasparilla Bowl of all places. You know what I mean?
We need better reporting here, Dan.
So
what was the beef?
So I don't know. And David Altman, you said the fight was five rows in front of him. So hopefully we're talking about the same fight. There was a
David Altman was in an entirely different section.
Well, you know, I don't know, right? You know, I was in the end zone. I think that there was something about a beer. I don't know what happened. There was a younger gentleman who looked very, very skinny, not really in a position to probably fight or defend himself. And then a guy that was in his, you know, late 40s, early 50s, that was kind of throwing haymakers. And if you're going to be the person at the bottom, a row below, that's just a tough position to win a fight in.
Read the Art of War. You need the high ground. Sun Tzu said it.
The guy got knocked out. They had to like sit him down and kind of like slouch him over because he was pretty knocked out. And yeah, he was bloody. You know, he had got a black eye, blood on his face. I just stop fighting. You know what I mean? Like it's not worth fighting. It.
But also this the younger generation. Millennials. We grew up kind of on the internet, but you at some point you might need to learn that you can't just say what you think you can say on Twitter. You can't say that stuff in real life, that you might run into somebody and there are consequences to things that you say.
Right.
It's hard for me to believe that this young man that got knocked out was an aggressor or an instigator, but I didn't see it because it happened and started during a kickoff. So people are asking, Dan, why didn't you start recording your phone earlier? First things first, the fight had already started before anybody noticed. Second, the first thing I do isn't to go grab my phone and act like I'm on World Star. And third, I want to get a good position, right? So I had to move anyway. So, but the guy's mom started throwing some blows, but just a tough scene, right? Gasparilla Bowl right before the holidays. A guy got arrested.
Honestly,
I went to jail.
This, you know, that to me, that's smells a lot like Tampa.
No, not Tampa. They're probably out of towners. You could tell.
Reeks of Tampa.
Yeah, that's not the city of brotherly love that Tampa is. Oh, here's a good one. David Altman thought there was going to be another fight, but his two drunks yelling about Napier running the ball on 3rd and 14th. Now, again, what I said about fighting, it's not worth it. But if there are things to fight about, that is probably a better reason. You know, and then everybody's prognosticating what's a fight about. And then they're like, oh, they're pissed that, you know, Billy Napier, you know, called a, you know, a draw play instead of a pass, or, you know, Billy Napier's offense, whatever it might have been. But, you know, just that little disclaimer is just, you know, disappointing to see, not on a high ground here, or, you know, on my high horse, just whatever it is, not worth it. But let's get into the defensive side of the ball. Probably sound like your mom telling you not to fight in school here. Let's see. On defense, highest rated guys in this game: Dijon Johnson, Jordan Castell, Tyreek Sapp, Shamar James, Jaden Robinson, Sharif Denson, Joey Slackman, Trekkus Bridges, Cam James, and then Jamarcus Weston. In his final game as a Gator, played 4 snaps at outside linebacker. Let's see, in the game, a couple of interceptions from Miles Graham. Unbelievable read by Miles Graham on that interception, the Alonzo Allen tipped ball interception. Everybody was asking, who's number 43? We talked about number 43 before the season started, so you guys all knew who he was. Former Baylor transfer that's now a walk-on from, I believe, Miami-Dade County. And then Trekkus Bridges, at the beginning of the game, on that flea flicker pass that was just vastly underthrown, but in a great position. Stadium erupted there. But let's talk a little bit about defense. What'd you guys think of the game? And, you know, obviously pitch a shutout until, you know, the very end. We'll call it a shutout with an asterisk.
Yeah, man, I think they did a pretty good job overall, man. Like you said, it's basically a shutout. You know, obviously we get some other guys running in there towards the end of the game just to get some more guys some playing time, but I was definitely proud of them defensively, considering how many guys we had sit out on the defensive side of the ball. Thought they'll have some problems with their running game and stuff like that, because Tulane does a pretty good job of running the ball and doing a lot of stuff on offense better than their defense. So I was impressed overall with our defensive performance. Had a lot of interceptions.
Yeah, former five-star quarterback started the game, and then the former number one receiver in the class of, I believe, 2022 was on their defense. Had him in
can't beat that.
Had him in handcuffs the whole game. Nick, defense, you're on mute, my friend. You're still on mute. You got to hit the other button.
Did not five-star is what I was trying to say there.
Did not
five-star? No, he was.
Yeah. Stars matter, Nick. Both of those guys increased their blue chip ratio.
I no longer work for a site where I have to pretend that I care about stars.
Very good.
I don't care about stars. How many stars did you have, Jordan?
4. I was a 4-star.
I said, stars don't matter.
Yeah, I think stars are bullshit, but the more camps you go to, the more stars you could potentially get. If you go to no camps and you're just going off of pure film, you'll end up a 4-star, 3-star. If you're going to camps, killing people at camps, running a good 40, being all over the place, making good tape, you'll probably be a 5-star.
Underwear Olympics. Now you got the 7-7 too.
Exactly. I was never really a camp guy because I'm like, nobody's out here hitting. So let's implement some hitting into the game. Let's see how y'all look.
Jordan was a 6-star.
That's right.
Stadium Miguel.com athlete profile, Jordan Scarlett, 6-star.
Yeah.
Nick, what would you be, a 3-star, 4-star?
It depends on what, like smack talker, sarcasm, 20-star. Baseball?
Baseball. How many stars do we have here? Because we might need to increase Jordan's star if we're like now 100, you know what I mean? It's like we have a 100-star system and Jordan's now 6. It's like, well, shit.
Let's see. Class of 2007, perfect game. I was a 7.5.
Out of 10?
7.5. Hold on. Let me share this.
Rocco Underwood was a 6-star long snapper. Forgot about that. Shout out to him. He's supposed to be on the show today. But wow.
7.5.
What is 7.5?
College prospect. Possible future draft pick.
What happened? That's why stars don't matter. No, I'm just kidding.
7.5. I was a 7.5-star. Jordan, get your star game up, Jordan.
Right, I gotta step with game up. Jeez.
I was an academic 5-star.
A 7?
Yeah, it's I don't even know what we were talking about before.
We're talking about the defense. Shows off the rails, and Corey's not even here.
Yeah. I came into the game very concerned, thought like, hey, things might get a little spooky once I was told like, hey, Caleb's out, Cam is out. You start to wonder like, okay, well, who's going to play? How many snaps does Desmond Watson have to play? But I think, you know, Florida, like Jordan said, that Tulane has some good running plays. They had, like you mentioned, Dan, the all galaxy quarterback, Trey Thompson. But I thought the defense played exceptional, and they've kind of just figured something out and have played a really, really high level outside of the Texas game. And I think a lot of that is you go into that Texas game thinking like, okay, we're on QB3.
Yeah,
and you're probably going into that with a mindset of like, let's just get out of here. Let's get some Terry Black's barbecue. Let's make this quick and painless, as painless as possible. And let's head back home, regroup for the last
few. Yeah, I mean, I with all of the injuries and everything else they dealt with this season too, mm-hmm. right? Like, a job well done. You know,
Ben Chase Marshall's on the sideline. Devin Moore's on the sideline. Yeah, Cormani McClain's on the sideline. Jakeem Jackson. You're out your top five cornerbacks in that game. Yeah. Aaron Gates is out. Like you're playing guys or there's none of this, Jordan. There's no, back out there. You can get Gatorade the next media timeout. Just stay out there.
Which, by the way, what a slow game, dude.
That's all the games. That's,
yeah, well,
that's
I know, but maybe it's just because I wasn't I only had two drinks before the game. Like I really, just these 3.5 minute TV timeouts
and it just felt
longer. Maybe because you're not at the Swamp, right? And it's just a different feeling and you're sitting down the whole time. Maybe that's what it is. Cause instead of standing for most of the game, you probably only stood for 15% of this game and you kind of felt awkward because not everybody wanted to stand, and then you're people in front of me are standing, so I should stand. But people behind me aren't capable of standing. So you're kind of sitting on your chair, but dude, what a slow game.
Well, did you go to a game in the Swamp this year?
Not this season, no.
So I think it was worse this year. And I told people, ESPN's paying three times as much as CBS used to pay. Don't be like, oh, great, the CBS games are done. It's like, no, there's more bills to pay. What? Significantly more bills to pay. And that guy in the red jacket,
the red hat
shirt, the red hat guy, God, I hate him. Every week I hate him. And when you get injuries, you'll come out of a 3.5 minute media timeout, and they keep announcing it in the press box, media timeout. I'm like, no one here in the media wants this. Can the media vote to cancel the media timeouts? And then you get an injury on the first play back, and then it's 2.5 minute while they have the injury timeout, and you're just sitting there, and you're like, it doesn't take 4 hours to play 60 minutes, but we're creeping closer and closer. Taking 4 hours to play 60 minutes.
Yeah, we got to figure out what baseball did and speed the game up a little bit, no more of this extra point commercial, kickoff commercial brutal stuff. Just got to go. Got to go. I sound like an old man yelling in a cloud here, but defense, probably won't break them down the same way we did offense. Just fantastic game by them. Mm-hmm. Great, going away party for Tricos Bridges, for Des Watson, for some of these other guys that are going to leave the program. And then you got to see what, the future looks, and certainly, who did I mention that's not going to be here anymore? What was his name? Oh yeah. Jamarcus Weston. I haven't said it all season. So, Billy Napier said he was about to enter the draft last year. He'll enter the draft this year. Maybe a special teams player, but you got to see Dejon Johnson, who's going to have a huge role next season. Jordan Castell, Tyreek Sapp, Shamar James, question mark there. We play the question mark game with Shamar James every year. Jaden Robinson coming back, Sharif Denson coming back, Joey Slackman, got the opportunity to play and, earn, master's degree or whatever it might be. Tricross Bridges is gone. Cam James is coming back. And then just looking down the list, Bryce Thornton, he's coming back. Derek Wingo, Des Wallison are your next. DJ Douglas played quite a bit. Big special teams guy. I'll give that guy credit. You know, when they were kicking off and he was running down, I was always there to try to fire up the fan base, and probably didn't play what he thought that he might this year. Maybe didn't have the season that he thought that he might have, but definitely a guy that wore the orange and blue proud down there. And then LJ McCray's coming back. You know, and then Alfonso Allen kind of rounds out that list, and he'll be back as well. So a lot of people coming back with, you know, some guys that are going to be joining this defense, as well as, you know, some of the guys that didn't play that'll be back next season as well. So congratulations to them. Nearly a shutout. But any final thoughts on defensive side of the ball?
Hold on. That's a 60-yard dash in baseball, not a 40. Also still not fast.
Yeah.
Still not fast.
Yeah. How fast do you run a 60 yard dash in?
That was a slow track and it rained the night before.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You didn't have your,
it was a slow track. It was a slow track.
He didn't have his cleats on. I gotcha.
It was early in the morning. I'm not a morning person. Would have done better at another camp, I'm sure. But yeah, 60 yard dash, not a 40.
Brandon, yeah, your perfect game had a 7.5, which is solid, better than I thought. Didn't have a lot of stats there for some reason. So I'm not sure if you didn't report them or if you asked, hey, could you please remove me? I'm a media figure now and I don't need people to attack me.
I'm reading this here. 2007 outfielder catcher, 5'10, 185. That's like a long time ago. Who attends St. Thomas Aquinas? Good body, athletic build. Good arm strength from the outfield, quick arm action, smooth defensive actions, moves to the ball well. Low hand set the plate, narrow stance, knee lift, trigger, swing, hands to the ball, has some loft, swing, pop in his swing, power potential.
Wow.
Yeah, a solid prospect.
Yeah, you were.
Solid prospect.
Dude. I mean, solid prospect. Solid, yeah. Shout out to you, man. I didn't know you were that good.
I've got my dad put up in – this is his office now – my – MVP from 2007 from St. Thomas.
St. Thomas, wow.
Awesome. MVP, best outfielder.
Well, good for you, man.
I enjoyed drinking beer a little too much in college.
You can tell.
Really enjoyed alcohol. Solid prospect.
Yeah, solid prospect.
Not too much to take away from the bowl game. I think the biggest thing is we haven't seen Florida take momentum or have any momentum going into an offseason. You lost three in a row, including one to Vanderbilt in year one. Last year, you lost, what, five in a row to end the year?
Yes.
And now you have four games, two of them overranked opponents, mm-hmm. bowl game win. You're starting to see a little bit of that momentum with like Dallas Wilson, Sturdivant. You're going to continue some guys. Purdy. Yeah, I think he was the second best, according to PFF, if you want to look it up, Dan. I think he was
second best on throwing the deep ball. Yeah, behind DJ Lagway.
Only two with DJ Lagway.
Yeah.
Jordan, we got a ton of culture in the quarterback room, right?
Yeah, but there's a ton of melanin in that room.
I'm loving that. That's so funny. Today I saw like a Instagram picture of it was like the Baltimore Ravens quarterback room. It was like, oh, obviously bad guys, and it's like University of Florida's new quarterback room. I'm like, for real.
I'll tell you what, we don't have to talk about our quarterback room being full of lunch pail guys and kids anymore. You know, there is no more sneaky athletic about our quarterback room.
I'm trying to tell you,
we're just athletic.
I'm feeling it. I hope they don't
surprisingly quick.
I hope they come through and make us not regret it. I wouldn't mind a little Oreo in there. Throw me a little white guy in there who got some little brains.
Aiden Warner.
Keep us sane. Yeah, I forgot. I got my boy Aiden in there. We good to go.
I love it. All right, let's get a quick ad read. You guys want to hear a lot about these recruits that joined UF. Give a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. This is one of the cups that they made for us. And there you go. Home Field Apparel, Game Time Sidekicks. Best cups in the game. Keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. fantastic product, great price. You can use promo code Stadium15 at checkout, and you will find this to be a everyday user, right? This isn't a gimmick. This isn't just because they sponsor the show. Literally use them every day. I've given them to people that still use them every day. So again, GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code Stadium15 at checkout. They have UF. They have a number of other schools as well, constantly changing designs, constantly creating new logos. So go visit them, GameTimeSidekicks.com. Promo code Stadium15. All right, guys. At the game, Dallas Wilson was there. So a little bit of a backstory here. This is something that we had started talking about as of about this time last week, right, Nick?
Yep.
Yeah, about this time last week, Dallas Wilson lives in Tampa, goes Tampa Bay Tech. We started hearing rumblings on Monday that he was going to ask out of his NLI from Oregon. I didn't necessarily believe it, but I was also very, very surprised, as was UF, when he announced Oregon on National Signing Day. Tuesday comes and goes. Maybe around some of the teammates. Maybe UF was practicing at Dallas Wilson's high school as well. Maybe just throwing it out there. This is a parody show. Remember, everything that you listen to, you can go find on your own, but these are all just allegations here. And then on Wednesday, asked out of his NLI. On Friday, was in Raymond James for the Gasparilla Bowl, was photographed, dapped up. DJ Lagway after the game, and then was in Gainesville on Saturday morning. Ended his visit Saturday evening. There was a family emergency. So now, mind you, Dallas Wilson, I believe, lives with his grandmother. Both Dallas Wilson's father and mother have passed away. He had a family emergency, had to go back on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the edit came out that Dallas Wilson, 5-star, the number 2 wide receiver in the country, did indeed sign with the University of Florida, which, along with Vernell Brown III, gives the Gators the only school in the country with 2 top 10 wide receivers in the class of 2025. Nick, you have any more light that you want to shed on that? Obviously, with caution.
Yeah. Dallas Wilson has been committed to Oregon for nearly 2 years.
Yep.
And it's just kind of, I think, his mom passed away suddenly and tragically, I think about a year ago. Lives with his grandma. His grandma's older, sick. And I think it was kind of just, you wanted to go to a school. Oregon's cool. And when you're 16 years old, they've got cool jerseys. They've got unlimited number of jerseys.
And money.
I remember when I was 17 years old, like, I should have gone to either University of Tampa or a community college to play baseball, but I wanted to, like, get away from home. And I was like, let me go up to Greensboro, North Carolina. And then you get there and you're like, all right, this is far. And Greensboro, North Carolina is much closer to South Florida than Eugene, Oregon. And I think once it came down, I was told that Dallas even got to the point where he committed to Florida, told them, hey, I'm going to be signing with you. And I think got cold feet. And then I think it's just the reality set in of like, hey, this is really far away from my grandma. And then just decided like, hey, listen, I've got something else that felt really good at the time. I think a part of it was like, let's honor this commitment. It's been a dream school for me. I want to go here. And then you kind of just realize how far away it is, what you have going on personally with your family. And it's a pretty solid backup to come to the University of Florida and catch passes from DJ Lagway. So
yeah,
it worked out.
And certainly he also had other options, right? So the University of Florida, every school in the country would have taken Dallas Wilson right? And there are schools that are not that much farther than Gainesville. I know that Gainesville is only 2 hours away from Tampa, but with the way that these guys get paid, the opportunity to fly, there's still a lot of other opportunities and places that he could have gone as well. So do want to give a shout out to the staff for keeping on him. And, you know, nobody knew this time last month that Dallas Wilson was even a possibility to be in this class. In fact, there are a lot of fans, and I remember talking to Corey about it when we did our National Signing Day show, that there's a lot of people that are really disappointed that he didn't join the class, that didn't even know until that day or the night before that it was even a possibility that he would be in the class. So, you know, these things, you know, Florida has now gotten DeAndre Robinson, Jason Zandamella to an extent, Jahmyr Grimsley, and now Dallas Wilson, all right after National Signing Day or very early on into their time at their school. Now, there are some external things that happened, right? You know, Nick Saban retired, DeAndre Robinson's coach at Texas A&M left. But again, these kids have an opportunity to go everywhere, and they ended up at the University of Florida. Jordan, as a ball player, have you gotten the opportunity to check out Dallas Wilson's tape at all?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of, you know, on Twitter, people be posting like a couple of clips and stuff. I think he's a good athlete, man. He's very physical. I saw a few clips of him like roughing some guys up on the line and stuff like that. I think that was the game that Billy Gonzalez was at. So he was trying to show off a little bit. But, hey, bring that to us. And I love some good receivers that love to block downfield. That's how we get touchdowns, baby. But overall, I'm impressed with the kid, man. I think he's going to do well. Just hearing his story, I didn't obviously know about the story, so Nick kind of brought it up. But I can definitely see how that plays a factor in your decision, man. Like, I wasn't even going through half the stuff he went through, and, like, I wanted to be close to my family. That was, like, a big decision in my college. So, obviously, we started at UM, ended up going to UF. It wasn't too far, but I can imagine going on the other side of the country, everything looks unfamiliar, and, like, it just gets like, I just want a little bit of home cooked meal and grandma's loving a little bit. So I understand where you're coming from, and I honestly respect it. It's definitely a hard decision for these young kids, man. They're dealing with a lot on their plate. They're trying to be convinced by all these college coaches on to come to their school, and it's just a lot to deal with. It's kind of hard to say no in the moment. So I kind of see how he went through the whole situation with committing and then committing to somebody else on the side and woody woo, all that. So definitely a hot mess, but hey, he found a good home with us, man. So I'm happy for him.
I like absolutely that. Woo, all that.
Yeah, no, huge addition to the room. Obviously, the Gators are loaded at the wide receiver position. We're going to talk about J. Michael Stordevon as well, transfer from UCLA. But the Gators are going to be returning Eugene Wilson. They're going to be bringing in Dallas Wilson and Vernell Brown. You still have Aiden Mizell. You still have, you know, for now, Tank Hawkins and TJ Abrams. You have a lot of young guys and a lot of speed in that room. And that doesn't even account for the fact that the Gators might get another person in this class, whether it's Texas transfer wide receiver Jonte Cook or whether it could be somebody else, right? There's still a number of days now for folks to enter the transfer portal. And then those schools that are still in the playoffs with an opportunity to come to the University of Florida. With that, we did have a super chat earlier from J. Knight Gator that said, if Ohio State fires their coach, which I don't think that they will, do you think Jeremiah Smith will transfer to Florida? No, I don't think Jeremiah Smith will transfer to Florida. And I also don't think that Ohio State is going to now fire Ryan Day either. What a performance by Ohio State against Tennessee, man.
But if you wanted to say some prayers tonight, Jay Knight, I'll pray with you.
Yeah, maybe Santa Claus is feeling extra special, but you know,
that's all I want. Christmas is my boy to come back where he belongs.
What an absolute animal on the field, man. I don't think I've seen a wide receiver as a freshman like that. I mean, just in general, not even just a freshman wide receiver, like just a wide receiver in general, just pure, incredible route running, quick, smooth hips, catches anything that comes to him, will highball it, will do some acrobatic catches. I mean, that's truly going to be an unbelievable college and probably professional NFL player.
Worth every penny.
Absolutely. And it's a lot of pennies.
It is.
So many pennies. So many pennies. So many pennies, but worth them all.
Yeah, worth it so much.
I was watching the game on Saturday at this place called Hattrick's, a great bar here in Tampa. And there's a guy sitting next to me that was a, I think he was a Michigan fan, but he was talking to some other guy next. And he's like, yeah, Ohio State's paying him $12 million a year to be there. I'm like, they're not, but probably worth it. Probably worth it.
Not paying him 12, but it does start with a million this year.
Yeah. There's definitely some zeros in there. So Dallas Wilson, 5-star, great get for the Gators. First consensus 5-star wide receiver the Gators have gotten since. Nick, you probably know the answer. So Jordan, I'm going to ask you, who do you think the last consensus 5-star, not too long before you,
Almost a teammate.
Dante
had an entire NFL career at UNC.
No, receiver.
Oh, receiver. Dang, that's a good question.
Right, he walked so Cam Rising could run.
Facts.
Man, I don't know. Y'all got me beat with this.
Andre Debose.
He was an amazing
Andre DeBose was the first person to earn the "you're the next Percy Harvin."
Right, I was about to say he's an amazing return guy.
The first person that Urban Meyer bestowed the honor of being the next. It became an annual thing for Urban. But yeah, Andre DeBose,
Chris Dunkley was that.
Yeah, Andre DeBose was the first one. It was my. I had a funny interaction with Andre DeBose. It was my first year. They used to do fall media day right before fall camp. Jordan, they would have the entire offense and defense come into the not the F Club, but the Champions Club or Touchdown Terrace.
They would have them in
around tables, and just like 45 minutes, they would all have to sit there, and we'd be able to go and interview them. And I catch Andre DeBose, and I haven't even covered a game yet. And I'm like, hey, man, I remembered him. I grew up a Gator fan. Remember being pumped when he signed. And I'm like, what would you say if I told 17-year-old Andre DeBose that he'd be here this year? And I think he was going into his fifth year.
Yeah.
And he just like lit into Florida. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this. he was like, I've had 4 wide receiver coaches, 4 offensive coordinators. And he's just like lighting into Florida. And I'm like, I didn't know what I was asking you.
Right.
I was not prepared. I was not ready for this.
He definitely had a rough patch of like just so much mess, man. Like, so many people were so surprised that I committed there because, like, obviously Florida was going through a sticky situation at the time. It's like they weren't playing their best football and going through a lot of coordinators and
shoot. Neither was Miami.
Exactly. I was like, what's wrong with y'all? Like, what are we talking about here? But yeah, man. Overall, though, DeBose is a good guy, man. I met him through Rod Johnson. That used to be my boy. Wow. A very unfortunate situation for Rod Johnson, obviously, but he definitely linked me to a lot of great Gators that obviously I never got the chance to play with, but built a relationship with those guys through him, and I'm definitely grateful for that.
Rob was gonna be good. Johnson, man.
That's a name.
Yes, Rob was gonna be a good one, man. Literally, T. Rouse ended his career so crazy in practice. Literally, just was pulling and like ran straight into his back. Like, how do you do that? Obviously, I know people mess up all the time, but like, yeah, it was just a very unfortunate situation. He definitely still doesn't forgive T. Rouse to this day. He hates him. I'm like, geez.
That's a name.
He's gone through it.
Yeah, he has. He's in a better place now. He actually coaches high school football in Palm Beach for Park Vista. So he's in the game. I've been telling him for years, even when I was at Ford, I'm like, bro, come to practice. Like, get with the O-line, bro. Just stay in the community, bro. Like, I know it's tough for you. Like, I can't even imagine. So he's in a better place now. I'm really happy for him.
Awesome. Coach against him now.
Yeah, for sure. We didn't play each other this year. They didn't make it too far, but if they made it to the playoffs, we would have played them.
The Gators also grabbed this weekend quarterback Deshaun Purdy, quarterback from Charlotte. Max Brown started off as the starter, former Florida Gator Max Brown. I believe did he get injured or get beat out I know he wasn't necessarily. Yeah, both. So Deshaun Purdy ended the season as a starter for Charlotte. 6'4", 220 pounds, completed 50% of his passes, 1,800 yards, 10 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Originally from Baltimore, he visited both Georgia and North Carolina and had the opportunity to commit to either one of those schools and came to UF. So shoving Bill Belichick and Kirby Smart into the locker to get the Gators backup quarterback and Deshaun Purdy, who has an opportunity to earn himself, you know, a chance to learn the playbook and then, you know, maybe the heir apparent to DJ Lagway, or if God forbid there's an injury, you know, you have a very capable backup in Deshaun Purdy. Gators also landed. You have any thoughts on Mr. Purdy other than the QB room starting to look pretty purdy right now?
yeah, definitely looking nice.
It's a tough sell. You're selling somebody to come in as DJ's backup. The only way you're playing is if it's 42-0 or if DJ's hurt. But you got to try to get the best possible player you can. You know, the best possible player you can with the reality of the situation. I think they did that.
Yeah, and I know Florida, you know, beat out those two schools, and they had also lost the UCLA quarterback transfer, Justin Martin, earlier in the day, who decided he was going to go to Maryland. So, you know, I think that created some questions probably in Gators fans. And I know Corey even tweeted about it a little bit, like Florida may not be able to get that caliber of guy to be a backup to DJ Lagway. Well, they did, and they probably got the better prospect of the two that they were really targeting there in the transfer portal. Gators also grabbed a defensive end, Jack Kofi Asare from Massachusetts. Originally Massachusetts guy, has 2 years to play. He's going to play at that position that Searcy and Pyburn have moved on from. But, you know, again, probably going to be a guy that, you know, plays somewhat sparingly. You know, you're going to want to see, you know, those guys, you know, your Cam James, your who else is playing that role? LJ McCray is playing that role. So, you know, you're going to have to try to beat those guys out. But again, a capable backup, you know, had you know, some solid film against Georgia when Massachusetts played and played them tough at the beginning of the game. But Kofi Asare, any thoughts on Kofi here?
This might be honestly trust the evaluate. Diamond in the rough takes. Yeah. You know, like, hey, like when they got Mike and Mazuka, that was supposed to be like, oh, they got the great guy from Baylor, and then he was just like an absolute cancer in the locker room. One and done. See ya. Go and join Nebraska. But like, you find George Gums, you find, you know, these guys in the transfer portal. People are like, who is that? So another kind of athletic freak on the outside. I think that room without Searcy, I think you still have a lot of depth there.
Yeah.
Let me pull this up real quick. At edge, you still have Sapp, Gums, Cam James, LJ McCray, and you added Jaden Woods and Jalen Wiggins. So you've got bodies.
I mean,
there,
Darren Wiggins and Matthew. Yeah, 30 tackles, 3 sacks, recovered fumble. I believe he forced a fumble as well. You know, obviously George Gums is going to be a guy that you're going to expect a lot of a lot out of next year. You want to see LJ McCray make that next step. And, you know, obviously Tyreek Sapp is going to play a ton next season as well. And, he'll be back at Florida next season. So, you know, again, you needed a body. You lost two. You go get one and – you don't need him to make an impact this season, right? And that's where we talk about raising the floor. But Florida's now in a position where they've recruited well, that you don't need to go and get a bunch of bona fide starters. You could go get and take a shot on a guy like Kofi Asare that if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you're still in a really good position with what you have. So do I think he's better than Jack Pyburn or TJ Searcy? No. But you needed some depth, and you know he's going to hopefully, you know, be a guy that is has a high ceiling, but definitely elevates your floor. The Gators also grabbed tight end, 2-star tight end Cameron Kosman. He was originally committed to Penn well, I think he has 13 offers, but the Gators wanted a tight end. They're going after the one tight end that committed to UCF and then didn't sign, but then did, you know, but it's not going to be the sexiest sell. Florida already has Micah Jones in this class. They had Amir Jackson from last year's class. You return Hayden Hansen, you return Tony Livingston. So you go and you get a body. You know, I don't know what to expect out of Cam Kossman, but obviously the Gators felt strongly enough to give him an offer and a committable offer. I don't think you absolutely needed a tight end, but you know, outside of the skill positions, I think David Altman said the last two-star we got was Kyle Trask. So I'm not saying that they're going to have the same career trajectory, but it'd be sick if they did, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
You only have four tight end scholarship: Hayden Hansen, Livingston, Amir Jackson, Mike Jones, Caleb Rios, the transfer. Yeah. He was a walk-on. I wonder if he stays a walk-on because he's in grad school. I honestly, impressive to be able to graduate from the Air Force in 3 years. I didn't know you could do that, or like 3.5
years.
Yeah,
what's the deal? Does he have to go serve after, and he's just able to keep?
I don't know.
He's going to go get a doctorate now at UF and just say, I'm a walk-on. I'm a walk-on. Get 7 doctorates at UF.
For free.
I don't know. Or, maybe somebody else does.
Yeah,
that's
a Russ Callaway evaluation. So we will be watching that.
Watching with my monocle on. I've got my monocle, my Russ Callaway monocle on right now.
Okay.
Magnifying glass. You know, I'm just watching you a little closer, you know?
Okay.
Just watching you a little closer.
Man, Dan sounds skeptical.
I'm a little skeptical. I would put me in the skeptical train. The conductor of the skeptical train.
Tough for Russ.
Seems like a nice guy, though. Seems like a great guy. Well, I think that takes us to the end of the show. Jordan, you're going to have Song of the Week, so we're going to do that here in a second.
Okay.
So Gators recruiting class of 2025, right now they are ranked 10th. So that's a good spot to be. You jumped Tennessee, so you are one closer to the top of the SEC. Next week's show, Corey will be here, so I think we're going to dive in a little bit more to some kind of the end of the year superlatives. I see that there's a question about coaching contracts ending and what that looks like, what a shakeup of the staff might look like. We don't know. Offensive coordinator, a question that's going to exist in perpetuity and what that means. So want to give their flowers to the basketball team. Pardon me. Basketball team beat UNC last Tuesday. We had Neil Blackman on the show last Monday. So they had a big victory over UNC. Had a 16-point lead that they saw disappear to a 4 or 6-point deficit. They climbed back. That's the first time the team's really faced adversity this season. So go and win that game. Move to 11-0. And then they absolutely put a walloping on UNF on Saturday. I think the score is like 99-53, something along those lines, but it wasn't even that close. I think the score is like 57-13 at halftime. Is egregious, Jordan. The Gators will play Stetson on Sunday, so they're going to be off for the Christmas holiday here. So after that, should they be 13-0, they will enter SEC play after that. So let's give one final shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville. It's actually where I got this Peter Millar polo that I'm wearing. So shout out to Alumni Hall. Go visit them. 99-45 is the final score. So go visit Alumni Hall. Anything that you want for the Gator fan in your life, men, women, old, young, golf, tailgating, whatever it might be, alumnihall.com or Alumni Hall on Archer Road. Off of I-75. So, Jordan, what song of the week do we have, my friend?
Song of the week. I'm gonna go with a song I've been hearing all weekend because I've been with a lot of babies. And okay. Nick, you probably will use this one, and let me know if it works. It's "Happy Song" by Imogen Heap. I can send it to the private chat, and I can get it out. But Yeah, they say that songs, kind of when you play it, if a baby's crying, the baby will stop crying because they hear the song. So next time you're in the car and your little one's just screaming the car down, just play Happy Song by Imogen Heap and let me know if it's successful or not. It works for mine. I've been hearing all weekend.
Might be playing it tonight.
Right? Let me know how it goes.
What kind of music? My
people out there with the babies, man, let me know how that one goes tonight when y'all use it.
Imogen Heap, Happy Song. Well, we'll play that. It'll be linked on our YouTube page. If you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate about 1,500 people watching us live right now. So thank each and every one of you for watching. If you're watching, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, share this with your friends, family, relatives. Heck, watch it on Christmas. My buddy Sebastian right now is watching him and on his TV. It looks like his whole family's gathered around. So hopefully they pop some popcorn. But we appreciate everybody for watching. We appreciate all the super chats. We appreciate everybody joining us on this holiday season. And with that, goodbye. Go Gators.
Goodbye.
Go Gators. Happy Bye. Holidays.
Go Gators. We'll see you guys after the holiday.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.